All right, it's time for Community Matters, brought to you by Metro County Hospital Health Systems. It's the last Wednesday of the month, which means it's time to be joined by the city manager of Beloit, Jason Raby, who still just can't figure out how the Dodgers won the World Series last night. No, I'm just kidding.
pulled that pitcher.
Yeah, pulled that pitcher. The Rays did. They pulled their best pitcher. Apparently, the Rays manager had money on the Rays losing in six, and so he made it happen last night. We'll talk about that on the sports ticket at 9:10. We're joking, of course. No, actually, Jason's here to try to win a free Blizzard from Dairy Queen there in Beloit.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Don Miller would like a free Blizzard. It's his birthday. Don Miller over at Miller Hardware LLC in Downs. Happy birthday, Don. Have a great day. We don't know exactly Don's age. Nobody wants to be brave enough to say it, apparently. So, Don, happy birthday from all your family and friends, all of us here at the radio station. All right, Jason. So, election is, I don't know if anybody knows this.
Yeah.
But there's some thing called an election coming up here next week. Some people maybe already voted, but there's a special question on the ballot locally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So obviously November 3rd is the main election day, and there's early voting, all those things. But City of Beloit, earlier this summer, kind of based off of the last election, we talked about this last time, I want to kind of reiterate it. The council passed a new ordinance and had to go on to the ballot an election question. And basically, that election question stems around the removal of the wards. So currently we have two wards, and taking the number of council members from six to five. So really, I look at this as their idea here was kind of more of a simplification of it, and having worked through the last two municipal elections and talking to people about running and taking that step, and then also talking to voters, especially. This is where it really becomes obvious. Talking to voters about, you know, who to vote for, you know, not who to vote for, but who they are eligible to vote for and who is running in what ward and what ward the voter votes in can be really confusing. It's really tough to, or not really tough, but it's tough for voters to understand that. And you really saw that in the results where people were writing in candidates from other wards into their ward, and you know, people from the wrong ward were winning elections in the other ward, and it just is kind of a confusing mess. And I don't think that that's the intention, especially in more modern times where everybody's very approachable. Everybody, no matter where you live at in town, represents the community and is able to be reached out to and talked to about issues that concern different constituents. So basically the election question will take it to an at-large election. So in the future, if the question is passed, if you have two seats open, the top two vote-getters get it, regardless of where they live in town and regardless of where you live in town. You just vote for the top two candidates of your choice, and those two people get the seats. So I think that's really going to simplify it. It's probably the vast majority of communities our size do that, and obviously want to make sure it works for Beloit, and I really feel it will. Again, it'll simplify it, clarify it. So that's what's going to be on the ballot. So when you go to vote for the president candidate and the senators and everything else, you're going to see that municipal question. Basically, eliminating the wards, so it just goes to an at-large vote, and taking the number of council members from six to five. So a pretty straightforward deal there.
All right, what's some other things that you guys have been working on and making decisions on?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think this is probably a little bit more of a result of the ongoing pandemic, but the large meeting room downstairs in the basement of the municipal building, and the municipal building, especially during the pandemic, has really gotten a lot of use, and that room downstairs is called the Sutter Room, and we're all familiar with it, I'm sure, if we've had a pancake breakfast or a spaghetti feed or any other type of event down there. It's that large meeting room down there. And the biggest issue with it is the acoustics. So if you've ever had a meeting down there, and I know at this point a lot of different organizations are using it just for the larger space, they can spread out, they can follow those guidelines that are recommended to keep everybody healthy. But the biggest stumbling block is the acoustics down there. So there's really good news on that, and the council made a decision last week to basically really invest in that space. It's paid for by taxpayer dollars, but it's just used really heavily by taxpayers, and it'll make that room much easier to use, a lot easier for people to hear and to listen. And again, if you've ever had a meeting or an event down there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So That'll be something that hopefully we'll get rectified here in the next few weeks. It'll take a few weeks to get it ordered and get these acoustic panels installed, but it should make a really big difference and really make a much more usable space for people. Again, for people looking for kind of those, you know, larger meeting size or meeting space type spaces, which again, a lot of the local organizations have been looking for and using for their different meetings. So that'll be really nice. Yeah, and another thing that we've really been working on, we've heard a lot about, and it's just kind of a slow grind, is a solar farm. The council's continued to work on that and to get everything lined up. And it's kind of one of those, like, we're kind of learning as we go to some extent. But hopefully we'll get that, in a better sense, purchased, if you will, before the end of the year so we can get that installed next year. But we really look for that to be kind of a supplement to our existing power portfolio as we continue to try that downward trend and downward pressure on power prices. It's a really big goal of our council. They've made some steps in that over the last 2 or 3 years, and they really want to continue to be aggressive with that, and not just in the next year or two, but, you know, looking 5, 10, 15 years down the road. So this is just kind of a part of that strategy that we've developed. And so I'm sure you've been hearing a lot about that, but it'll be a really neat facility. Like I said, it'll put us in a great position to make some of those moves, but also it'll be a great resource and hopefully a learning tool for our local schools and school districts to be able to see something more large scale and see how that can impact our lives, especially here in Kansas and some other sunnier type states. They're getting to be a huge solution to kind of the power, especially the power peak needs, and that's exactly what this will be. So hopefully more will continue to come out on that, and we'll have some good news about it actually being awarded and coming to fruition here in the next couple of weeks.
All right. We're talking to City Manager of Beloit, Jason Raby, here today on Community Matters, brought to you by Mitchell County Hospital Health System. So anything else that you want to fill people in on before we meet again at the end of November?
Yeah, not really. I mean, you know, a couple of little things that people pay attention to, but I think are really important, especially as citizens and taxpayers of our community. You know, one thing that we've done the last year and a half is get the North Campus all situated so it's with the right, you know, we've talked about this, with the right entities. You know, the school district uses several buildings. Well, now they own those buildings. And what that, one of the big overhead type items that have been hanging over really Beloit taxpayers and citizens' heads for the last almost, not quite 10 years, but as long as we've had that, is a pretty big boiler system, which makes a lot of sense when the whole campus was operating. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's just, we've done, the city and the county and the school district have done an admirable job and filled a lot of the buildings up there. I mean, there's a lot of repurposed facilities up there, so we can be proud of that. But there's obviously some large square footage spaces that just really have a hard time figuring out what the second life is for them. So that made that boiler system really inefficient, and it's really expensive to operate in that scenario between personnel and really having to babysit it and service it and get the chemicals for it and the water for it. All those types of things got made it to be really not cost effective at all. Plus, it was not user friendly and not comfortable for the end user. You know, once you turned it on, it was on, you know, and you didn't want to turn it on until you needed it. So if it's cold in October, you're just going to be cold. Or if it's hot in March, you're just going to be hot that day, because April might still be cool. So everybody has since, the school and the law enforcement center, so that's mostly the county with a little bit of the city, have gotten their own HVAC systems. They got that all executed this summer. So that was a huge win for that, and a huge win for really making it a lot more efficient up there. And so we're looking forward to hopefully seeing some real cost, you know, if projections hold true, some really cost savings and cost benefits to the city of Beloit and to our citizens. And hopefully that'll just be it's been a good exercise, a good partnership with everybody here locally. So I want to commend the school district and the county for stepping up and helping us make those things happen, and really gets it to be correct, for lack of a better word. You know, kind of gets the right expenses and the right balance sheets and income statements, and basically everybody's got it pulled off. So everything's pretty much operational. So we've seen a lot of activity up there and HVAC trucks up there. That's why. So yeah.
All right. So if anybody ever needs to get a hold of you or get a hold of the city office, how can they get a hold of you in regards to if they have a question about something or a concern about something?
Yeah. I mean, there's two ways. You can either call my cell phone directly. So it's 785.
You're a brave man.
Yeah.
You're a brave
That's
man.
Right. 785-534-3439. Or they can email me at jrabe. So that's J-R-A-B-E at BeloitKS.org. So those are two easy ways, or just look us up on the office number and try to call and get through, and I'll do the best I can to answer your question.
Unrelated story, tomorrow Jason changes his cell phone number. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Jason, as always, we appreciate it. The city manager of Beloit joining us at the end of each month. We'll talk to Jason again coming up in November. Community Matters brought to you by Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems.